This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
Our guest is Dr. Donald Farish, president of Roger Williams University in Bristol since June of 2011, and previously was president of Rowan University in Glassboro, New Jersey. Dr. Farish is very active in the national discussion about the future of higher education. Dr. Farish is also a published author in the field of biology. Dr. Farish, welcome.
Thanks very much.
First question about your concerns regarding, as you term it, a wealth gap in higher education. What is that all about?
Moody's came out with a study in April of this year that demonstrated that not only had a considerable gap in wealth developed between a handful of very wealthy universities and the rest of higher education, but that it was likely to continue to grow and expand. And I was concerned about the implications.
Implications for quality of education or the quality of the graduates or a mix of that?
The big issue facing higher education is how we create affordability for more students so that there's an opportunity for young people to gain a college education. And the challenge then is to figure out, well, who pays for it? What's happening right now is a great deal of philanthropic money is on the table, but it's going preferentially to a handful of very rich universities that are not expanding their capacity and frankly don't need the money from the standpoint of providing access because they can do that already. The rest of higher education is struggling then to create affordability for these students that would like to go to their schools but can't afford it.
Now, that's an issue you've taken on at Roger Williams, right? Because you guarantee tuition for any entering student throughout the 4 years. How are you able to accomplish that in this environment?
Yeah, it's a challenge. We're 4 years in a row, we have frozen tuition at the level it was in 2012, and we've assured each entering class that their numbers won't change while they're students. In order to do that, we have to make up for the money that otherwise we would be getting from increasing tuition. In other words, to cover our inflationary costs. And we're doing that primarily by moving aggressively into the adult market, where there is an unmet need in Rhode Island for opportunities for adults not to come back and sit in classrooms in a traditional undergraduate classroom, but to pick up additional skills, augment what they already have in order to become good applicants for the jobs that are available today. We're also expanding summer school. We've done more in the way of graduate education. We are leasing our facilities more aggressively for camps and conferences. We're increasing philanthropic activities. These are all done with the eye toward offsetting the costs of the undergraduate residential education.
What are the areas that adults, you find that you're filling in adults' professional development?
It really runs the gamut. There are corporations that are seeking to have all of their employees at a particular level raised to a new level. So that's contract-type education. There are certificates that we're offering. There's degree completion work where people have a partial college degree and realize if they could finish that in some fashion, they would be better served from the standpoint of being able to have a very good living. And these are all things that we're involved in. There are also some new degree programs. We have a new program for a four-year certificate in EMT work, for example.
This comes at a time when there is a serious question being asked about who really needs a formal college education.
Right. I think if we take the position that says everyone should go to college and get a four-year degree, I think that's never going to happen, and it's not necessary. There are many jobs in our society that do not require a college education, but there are aren't very many jobs that require only a high school education. So some type of post-high school work is necessary, and a lot of jobs are going wanting for lack of talent at the bachelor's level. We have not seen an increase nationally in the percentage of American adults with a four-year degree really since the mid-80s. We've been stuck at one-third of the population with a college degree, and we are losing ground internationally.
What does that translate into in terms of developing the proper workforce into the next century?
I think what we saw historically after World War II, when the GIs came back and went to college, there was a huge increase in the national economy as a consequence of very talented people now suddenly able to access college and be successful in doing so. But we haven't made that reinvestment for this generation of students. And the consequence is that we do not have the well-trained workforce that the economists say will be increasingly important in the coming years, where the bulk of the new jobs will require a college degree.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Dr. Donald Farish, president of Roger Williams University.
One of the things you were talking about earlier is this wealth gap. You had some pretty radical thoughts about what to do to combat it and to, in essence, redistribute some of that gap to help underprivileged children access education.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more and more conversation about income and wealth inequality in this country. Clearly is part of what the presidential campaign is going to be involved in. Hillary Clinton's already been speaking on this. But we see the same kind of situation happening in higher education. And what it means is that people who are wealthy have access already to very high quality education. People who are not wealthy struggle to get that access. And I think the issue here is there a mechanism, and how intrusive does it have to be in order to create more opportunity for more people to go to school? My favorite solution here is simply to encourage the wealthy donors who are contributing mightily to their very wealthy alma maters to look around for universities and colleges where their wealth would really make a difference. And I had experience in my last job at Rowan, where the reason it's called Rowan and not Glassboro State is that Henry Rowan, a local industrialist, gave the institution $100 million. And it was a transformational gift. He had no relationship with the university. He was an MIT graduate, but reasoned that MIT did not need his money, and maybe it would make a difference to a local school, and it did. And we need more Henry Rowans to do that kind of work.
Do you see tax policies being altered to perhaps direct more funds, more donations to more of the schools?
Anytime you begin to talk about taxes, there's an immediate negative reaction. But yes, I do see that as a possibility. If, in fact, we can't solve this in any other way, one thing that I have advocated is that we consider taxing the income that is generated from the investments that colleges are making with their endowments.
Would those be federal taxes, state taxes?
They would be federal taxes. And if we treated those as capital gains, there would be tens of billions of dollars going into the federal coffers every year from that. We would want to have those designated to expand Pell Grants and create other economic opportunities. And the problem is that sometimes politicians just can't keep their hands off that money. And so it's conceivable we could find that we've taken the right step, but we didn't get the right result.
There's a chance the tax base might be broadened, too.
Yes. Yeah, it might be. And I think one of the concerns that we have in this country is that taxes are a concern for a great many people, and for good reason, because the median family income has risen exactly 8% in the last 30 years. So nobody feels particularly well off except for the people that are enormously well off. And that's why taxes, I think, are such a third rail in politics today.
How can the schools themselves, outside of taxes,
sure,
do more to attract donors?
I think what we have to do is sell the idea that education, higher education, is a public good, and get away from the idea that the only beneficiary are the students and the graduates themselves. And that means getting out into the local communities and serving the needs in ways other than through formal education.
Our guest has been Dr. Donald Farish, president of Roger Williams University of Bristol. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave, as always.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.